Hey, listeners, ever have trouble getting someone on the phone when you have a question about your credit card? With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day, or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. When you hear that Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan, you're probably thinking, what's the catch? Well, there isn't one. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with premium wireless plans for just $15 a month. Say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plans, jaw-dropping monthly bills, and unexpected overages. All plans come with unlimited talk and text and high-speed data delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. You can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts.
Our producer, Sean, is a big Mint Mobile guy. Here's what he had to say.
For a fraction of the cost, Mint Mobile proved to have excellent coverage with no drop calls or unsent texts. Plus, they make it super easy for me to activate my device just by following a few simple steps online. And bam, done. It was great.
To get this new customer offer and your new three-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/literally. That's mintmobile.com/literally and cut your wireless bills to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/literally. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first three-month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
We did it.
Finally.
We put this together. I can't believe it. Between our two schedules, I'm so happy to have you.
Oh my gosh. I'm so happy to be had, and it's been worth the wait.
Well, you say that now. There's a lot of talking to be done.
I know. We just started. What am I saying?
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Literally. Very, very exciting. Very excited to have Jennifer Aniston on the podcast. She's America's friend. She really, really is. One of the nicest, most talented producers, actors, fashion icons. I don't need to explain. What am I doing explaining Jennifer Aniston to you? That's crazy. I don't need to do that. I just need to start talking to her. Here we go.
Where are you, Rob?
I'm in what they call Hotlanta, Atlanta.
Oh, yes.
Now, you must have you've shot here,
so
right?
Many times.
So many times.
Yeah. I think, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I mean, a lot.
Really? Yeah. See, this is my first time shooting here, and it is like being in a wet blanket.
I know. It's really unpleasant. It's an unpleasant experience. Especially, don't run outside, whatever you do.
I was thinking about actually doing that today. It's funny you say that because I got off early and I'm thinking maybe I'll run through these because it's so beautiful. I'm like,
oh, it's gorgeous.
But you just, I think I would end up in the hospital.
You'd melt into the pavement and it won't be worth it. It's much better to be in a nice air-conditioned gymnasium.
Okay, so I was looking over all this stuff about you, which makes me laugh. It's always funny when I'm interviewing somebody that I know and love, but like then I get like the factoids. Okay, first of all, Telly Savalas really is your godfather? Really? Is that true?
100%. I have a picture I could show you, but the people at home wouldn't know what I'm showing you.
Okay.
Yes.
I want to know. So we both wanted to be actors when we were kids. Your father was an actor, obviously, but you knew you wanted to do it how young, would you say?
11.
11. So I'm 8. So we're right at
the same. I was 11.
What was the early auditioning period like for you? I love sharing audition horror stories. It's my favorite. I want to do a coffee table book. Here's what I really want to do. A coffee table book. Did you ever have what they called a composite?
When you were like doing your baseball or your nerd look or the sort of sciencey person. Yeah, no, I didn't. I didn't have that. My mom took my headshots.
Oh, you kept it in-house. I like that.
Yeah. But my mom was a headshot photographer for a spell.
Oh.
She did a lot of things. One of them being headshot photographer for a period of time. So it worked in my favor. And then I remember moving out to California when I was 20 and needing new headshots. And I had to borrow $100 from my friend to say, can I please, I have no money and I need to get headshots.
Did you have somebody in your auditioning life that was always like your cursed, like foiled again by so-and-so who got the pilot that you didn't want? Because I for a minute had a guy named Raphael Sabarge. Tim Hutton used to just kill me for a long time.
Really?
Yeah. Tim Hutton. He was
so funny.
He was one to be, he was a nemesis. Did you have a nemesis?
I didn't.
No.
I don't really think, no, I didn't. I mean, I was definitely the callback queen. I used to always get a callback, And then it would just, I was very comfortable with never getting the job. I wasn't like, oh God, again. But I kind of, it was always a shock when it worked, when it happened. And same thing with whenever a show would get picked up. I was used to doing a show and having it go, 6 to 13 episodes, and then you'd get canceled and you'd do another one. So like when Friends was picked up for the back nine or whatever, I was like, what's that?
Yeah, the back nine. We're going golfing? We're going golfing in the back nine?
What?
What?
It was such a big deal. But auditions were just awful.
Am I wrong that they really wanted you for Friends, but there was some other really hot pilot? Ooh, it was hot. And you were like, it was going to happen, and like it was the thing, and you were on it. And they're like, "Damn it, we got to get Aniston for this." And then,
no, Friends was that hot pilot. Why? I was on another show.
Oh,
I was on a show called Muddling Through, and then and then we weren't sure if that was getting picked up, so I was then auditioning. So I got Friends in second position. We don't use these terms. We don't say these things anymore, do we? I mean, second position.
I think to
remember.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think to the uninitiated, second position sounds a lot more interesting than muddling through.
Yes, literally. I loved that show. It was nothing against that show, but when I had read that script for Friends, it was all my contemporaries, and it was a group of. It was the life I had actually been living at the time in Laurel Canyon with my friends. We all lived on the same street in this, in Laurel Canyon on a street called Beach Knoll. And we're all in these little rentals scattered through this one street. And we would pop over just to each other's houses randomly. And then Friends came along. Of course, in my brain, I'm like, I manifested this. And then that was it.
I always think about, because I'm so shallow and narcissistic and all, all I care about is my own looks and other people's looks,
sure,
that I instantly think about the famous Rachel haircut, and the day that I just like to imagine you and Chris McMillan sitting in front of a mirror going, what do you think? Like this lane? No, or what about that? I mean,
I wish it was a conversation. I wish it was so much. I wish it was that I had literally no idea what even getting your hair done was. I mean, except for like walking into a random store and like Supercuts or St. Mark's. What was that? Astor Place in New York City. Remember downtown?
Totally. Yeah.
And you just go wait in line and someone would just give you a haircut, whether you had no say in what it was. They just sort of did it. And then when I met, my manager had sent me to Chris McMillan basically saying like, this is a disaster. You need to go. We need to fix this. And then
make it look like a TV star.
Something. Yeah. And then I went into Chris's chair and I said, hi, nice to meet you. And then he just, like Edward Scissorhands, chopped it all up and that was it. And then I was left with it. It wasn't a very manageable haircut to do on one's own. So
there has to have been a men's version of the Rachel, i.e. a haircut that some actor showed up with, male actor, and people went, oh my. You know what? It might be your ex's Brad in the Tank movie. because everybody had to have that haircut.
In the which one?
The Tank movie. Fury.
Tank? Oh, but the buzz cut?
Yeah, the Fury haircut. Yeah, everybody had that haircut after Fury. Everybody.
What about you, though? You know what I watched recently? Because it's one of my favorite movies of all time. Hmm. And it literally, I went through this period during the quarantine. I mean, it feels like yesterday, but time is really means nothing to me these days because what was yesterday was actually a year ago. And what was a year ago was yesterday.
Yes.
St. Elmo's Fire.
Oh.
With you had that a mullet. Remember how that look was kind of a big deal in the 80s?
The mullet was big time. I mean,
that short on top and it tight kind of at the side, and then it went a little shaggy at the bottom.
Yeah, it was supposed to be hair extensions. Joel Schumacher, the director, wanted me to actually have hair extensions, and I got lost on the way to the hair extension guy's place in the valley.
What, they did that back then?
Yes, I'd never even heard of them. I didn't know what they were.
Wow.
But apparently, that was what my hair was like. So what would they have extended it to? Like, what, my butt? Like, how long would it have been?
Exactly. What was Joel going for? And you know what? We watched that. I'm sorry to go back to this. We watched that right before. When did he pass away? This summer.
About a year ago. Yeah, just about a year ago.
Boy, I miss movies like that.
He wanted to make a Manhattan for young people. And so it sort of had that kind of like, it treated those people like it's like same thing Friends did. Friends, you know, it mm-hmm. treated those young characters with respect, and like it was like mm-hmm. and they were both funny and goofy and all that stuff, but it wasn't like, it didn't feel pandering or any of that, you know what I mean? And I think that's why people like that movie so much still. And
it
why
was
they,
very it was very simple. It was there was something that was just very relatable, that you had it was easily identifiable, and you kind of, it was you. It was just an extension of the audience having an experience, a human experience. Very simple.
And
right?
Yes. And I think it's again, the same experience you had with Friends. I think they wanted you for a different part, but you wanted to play Rachel. Is that what I'm thinking? Or
they wanted me for Monica, and they wanted Court for Rachel. So I got the audition to, you know, and that was for Monica Geller. And then I read the script and I said, I feel like I'd have more fun with Rachel. And Court had the same instinct. She read it and thought, I feel a little bit more like a Monica.
I love that because they wanted me to play the Judd Nelson part in St. Elmo's Fire. In fact, they didn't want to see me at all.
I was listening to Molly Ringwald, by the way, speaking of this period of time in those movies and Judd Nelson. You auditioned for the Breakfast Club for the Judd Nelson role.
Yeah, John Hughes was not having what I was selling. That was the other thing. Did you ever have somebody who just was not in the Jennifer Aniston business no matter what you did?
Everybody. I could not get, you don't understand. I couldn't get commercials. There was like a period of time where I just was like, I'm just going to be a professional waitress who like auditions on the side. There was nobody having what I was serving up. It just wasn't my thing. I mean, honestly, until I'm trying to think of what my first job was. Oh, it was a Bob's Big Boy commercial. That was the first job I got. It was a Bob's Big Boy commercial.
Did you have any dialogue?
Shrimp's up. The shrimp is up or something. And I wasn't even Bob's Big Boy. I was the fast food chain of not to go to. So I wasn't even representing Bob's Big Boy. I was sort of the waitress at the don't go to this place.
Oh, I see.
Go to Bob's Big Boy.
I had one of my first was Carl's Jr.
Oh, wow.
And I had dialogue. Mine was, I've got taste.
Those little moments, those little tiny wins will just end up being a big, big win eventually. If you can't kind of, I think it also has something to do with not really being that attached to an outcome. Right?
Right.
I think it's like just enjoy where you're at. There was I wouldn't say a lack of ambition, but I didn't have that like, I've got to get to that, like, you know, that place. I was just kind of enjoying the ride.
You have way better perspective than I had. But you're chill. You're a very chill. I mean, that's my impression of you. I think it's a good one, right? You're chill.
Yeah.
Do you practice TM? Did I see this right?
Yes.
I am loving TM, Transcendental Meditation.
Wonderful. Yes.
Okay, I need to get some life hacks, as they say.
Okay.
Do you
Okay.
Religiously do it twice a day?
No.
Okay, good. I feel good.
Mm-mm. Yeah, no, it's something, you know, I do notice when I do it twice a day, there is mm-hmm. a noticeable difference. I can't put my finger on what that is because it's not really tangible, but I feel a difference.
Same.
No idea what it is. And if I'm not keeping up with that practice, there's a noticeable difference and it feels something just feels off.
For me, what it is I'm just way less irritable.
Yes. Yeah. Would you say you're a structure, you like structure?
Yes. I don't idle well. Mm-hmm. Let's say that. Do mm-hmm. you know what I mean? I'm happy in my own company.
Yeah.
And I'm good with that.
Yeah.
And I'm happy to sit and daydream.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And do nothing. But
only for a period of time though.
That's right.
Yeah.
Only for a very succinct period. How did you get into TM? Who turned you on to it?
It was David Lynch benefit at Radio City Music Hall in 2009 or 10. It was like mm-hmm. the David Lynch Foundation. Paul McCartney and Ringo Starr were going to be performing for the first time together. Jerry Seinfeld did some stand up, and I remember just learning about it and seeing this clip that they put together of the Beatles and I mean even Howard Stern was there because he's a big TM guy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just taken by it, and I thought this is something I want to really look into. And then a couple of years later, I think it was actually 20 the next year, I found a wonderful person named Penny who came and sort of gave me my mantra and took me through a few days and like an hour a day for 5 days. You sit and you kind of go through what it is. You learn about it and it's just, and that was it. And I got my mantra and it's my mantra to this day. And we're sticking to it. My friend had a frustrating experience because he got a mantra that he cannot, the mantra, he identifies it with something really negative in his life. So, and I remember him saying, I need to change my mantra. And the person was like, you actually can't, you're stuck with it for life.
I didn't know that. Really?
Yeah. So I hope you like your mantra.
Where else can you go surfing and skiing in the same day? Or check out a world-class art museum and camp out under a brilliant night sky same day? Or hike through the redwoods and get a luxury spa treatment? There's only one answer: California. No matter where you go across this state, you will find a way to play. I love California. And I have not yet surfed and skied in the same day, although I do both. So that is on my bucket list. It's the most beautiful place in the world. Discover why California is the ultimate playground. Head to visitcalifornia.com to start planning your trip today.
Join Macy's in an effort to shop more sustainably with brands like Carter's Little Planet, Oak, On 34th, Elemis, and more. Plus, to help bring more parks to more people, Macy's is supporting Trust for Public Lands Community Schoolyards Project, transforming vacant schoolyards into green spaces to help ensure healthy, livable communities for generations to come. Donate online or in store and learn more at macys.com/purpose.
I love fast cars, but there aren't a ton of high performance EVs. They're certainly out here there. But when I get a chance to get behind the wheel of one, I love it. And I was blown away by the Kia EV6 GT. When you get behind the wheel of the Kia, it is literally like being in a state-of-the-art rocket ship, but also comfortable. The thing goes from 0 to 60 in 3.4 seconds. It is the premium driving experience. And of course, it's an EV, so the climate thanks you. SiriusXM provides access to over 165 channels in the vehicle. Music, sports, news, comedy, yacht rock. Let's go. Little Steely Dan going in your Kia. Come on now. So check it out today. It is the all-electric Kia EV6 GT. I had a blast checking it out. Believe me, you should do it yourself via kia.com/EV6 to learn more. That is kia.com/EV6. Kia, movement that inspires. A survey conducted by two Hollywood plastic surgeons.
Oh, geez.
Do you know where this is going
yet? No.
A survey conducted by two Hollywood plastic surgeons amongst their patients of what the perfect woman looks like. Jennifer Aniston was voted in the top three most sought-after body shapes, along with Gisele Bündchen.
Whoa.
And Penelope Cruz.
Whoa.
How about them apples? Huh?
Jeez, I need to.
Huh?
What on earth? People come in and they go, I would like that body type. And then they kind of, yeah. I mean, I understand that with a haircut coming in and saying, you know, I did that with Valerie Bertinelli. I walked into Vidal Sassoon when I was a kid, right?
Oh,
and I wanted
yes,
that little one day at a time shag.
Yes.
She had that Angora sweater, red Angora sweater on the cover of People magazine. This is like from 1912. And I walked
in and
handed that haircut. But a body shape, I don't understand that request. It's sort of sad, actually, when you think about that so many people, and I think that's a bit of an unfortunate part of social media today, is creating those kind of desires of you know, things that are not real or attainable, you know?
Yeah. I'm glad that my kids... First of all, I think it's tougher for girls than boys, and I'm glad that my kids were the last generation to really come up
yes.
in their formative years without social media.
I feel the same way. Aren't we lucky, though? I'm so lucky.
Apparently, when you finally decided to break down and join Instagram, that you broke the world record for fastest time to reach 1 million followers on Instagram. 5 hours and 16 minutes.
That was my goal. You know, I you got to have goals. And that was one of mine. And I think I actually have a plaque, actually, from the Guinness Book of World Records.
Dude, that's so good. No,
I know.
Kidding me? Listen,
isn't that cool? I shouldn't have it up in my office.
Listen, the great Ty Cobb said it isn't bragging if you've done it.
Just stating the fact.
Records are made to be broken. Let's face it.
Sure. Yeah.
And it says something. Like, who breaks the record is almost as important as getting the record in the first place, I think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Check this out. How cool is this? Your record was broken by Sir David Attenborough.
That is absolutely incredible, which also I find that also says something.
Right? I think so. I recently joined, this, and it's not coming out of my mouth. It just, I want to murder my own self.
But what?
TikTok. I was at this dinner with a bunch of tech guys, and they were like, look, TikTok is at right now a lot of stupid dances and the new iterations of ice bucket challenges and dogs dancing and stuff, but what it eventually is going to be where you're going to get all your news, you're going to get it's going to be the biggest thing in the world. It is absolutely going to be the biggest thing in the world, the biggest company in the world. It already is in China. It is not even in China. It's where everybody does everything. It's like you get your news, you do everything. It's not this goofy sort of adolescent thing that it feels like it is here. And it's going to age up into that eventually in our country. So get on it now and do it.
But
so
aren't they just like 20-second clips? I mean, listen, I don't even know.
Yeah, but you still get your news. Like,
in 20 seconds.
I got more information about pulling out of Afghanistan off TikTok.
Then I have no idea if we're even talking about the same thing.
No, we are, but I didn't know that's what it was. I literally thought it was, here's a panda bear, and he's dancing.
Yeah.
And it is that, but it's also as this happened 5 minutes ago at the Bagram Air Force Base.
I'm going to do a deep dive on that.
Do a deep dive on it. Okay, I want to talk to you about the morning show because I'm loving it. Are you – did you find it different at all coming back to television and it's such a different world, don't you think, doing whatever 8 or 10 episodes, however many you guys do versus 22. You would sometimes do 22 friends, right? 22.
We would do 22 episodes and then we would have what they called wraparounds. which were sort of, you would shoot over a couple weeks and they would piece it together and it would become one show. But going back to television, it feels so different now because I mm-hmm. feel like we're just shooting a movie.
Yeah.
It feels like you're shooting a movie, but you're just doing, you know, there's way more material in a day. It's killer.
Killer good or killer bad?
Both. It's like it's killed me. We're still in post on season two. And everything, you know, shooting a show during a pandemic, especially of that proportion, being a news show within a show, yeah. It was just like, it's enough to put you under your covers for a long time.
And you obviously produce the show as well. So when, mm-hmm. and you know, post, is it very hands-on for you? Do you enjoy post as much as the rest of it?
I love being in an editing room.
Right.
And we get to, you know, that's what the fun is. And we just recently had this like creative disagreement amongst our producers about our finale. And it was very exciting and invigorating as well as frustrating, but just to be able to have that conversation and have that collaboration and respect everybody so much that you know, you eventually when you say, okay, I'm gonna lay down my sword, not gonna fall on it for this one, those are fun and exciting moments. And I just love everybody that I get to work with, every single one of them.
It's a great cast. The thing I love about you is you
yeah.
really embrace and enjoy your time away from work. Like you have fun.
I do.
You have fun. I know you've always been a big Cabo girl. Do you like Cabo still as much as I do?
I do. Well, it's also really easy to get to. It's a quick,
right.
It's a nice quick, you know, flight. But I haven't been on a plane since January 2020. I haven't gone anywhere.
No.
No.
Really?
Mm-mm.
Where do you try that? Do you remember MGM Air?
Yes. We just were talking about this. What was that, like the Concorde, you mean? No.
No, MGM Air was, it was like this late 80s, mid 80s, late 80s, into the 90s, and then it was over. And it was like these planes that had like staterooms in them and like couches, and you would get on it, but you would never know who was going to be. It wasn't a private plane. It was a plane anybody could buy a ticket on. It was expensive. Mm-hmm. But you never know who was going to be on it or more importantly, who you'd be trapped next to.
Oh,
like
dear.
On a couch.
Oh.
I just remember being trapped next to Ed McMahon.
Oh, my God.
And his little daughter was like, Daddy, are you drinking another one of your stinky tonics? And him looking over at me going, ha, 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 I don't know what she means. Stinky taunt. It was, I mean.
Ed McMahon. I do remember being on Mulholland doing a hike when I used to live up in Laurel Canyon. And I would run into he and his wife that would be on taking their walks on Mulholland.
Was he drinking a stinky tonic?
Not at that time. It was usually pretty early. I wasn't up on his habits and his times of the day when he began to partake in his tonics. But I think at this point of the day and the day, he was pretty much cleaning out the day before.
Did you ever have a disastrous talk show appearance?
Yes and no. My very first time I was on Jay Leno, I remember the guest it was Michael Keaton, was the guest before me.
Amazing.
And he ran out my time.
You got bumped.
I got bumped by Michael Keaton. And I remember it was the beginning of Friends. It was the first year of Friends. And of course I did my own hair, I did my own makeup. I had my outfit. And then I was sitting in just so nervous, and a ridiculous, overwhelming feeling of relief came over when they said you were bumped, but also huge disappointment at the same time. And I took my little
yeah.
Jay Leno basket of treats and my whatever little flower baskets. And I just was in this limo that they had hired for me to get there. And just remember sort of driving back home and taking my basket from the Jay Leno show and going through it. And then I went back like 2 weeks later, put the same outfit on. I did the exact same thing and I got the same basket.
And you killed it.
That I don't know. I don't remember. I might have killed it depending on what that means, but something happened.
You know, I did Kudrow's Who Do You Think You Are? It was one of the most fun things I ever did.
I cannot wait. And they really are lock and key. Like, they don't let you know anything. Oh,
they are deadly serious about it. So for those of you who may not have seen the show, Lisa produces, still does. Mm-hmm. It's a show called Who Do You Think You Are? And they literally call you up and go, hey, so we would like to put a team of genealogists on you for the next year. And if they find something interesting, then the protocol is you will have 8 days of shooting. You won't know where you're shooting or what you're shooting. All we will tell you is bring a passport, and we will tell you what climate of clothes to wear. That's it. That's all they tell you. And it's 8 days, which it's hard. I was like, do I really want, that's such a hassle. And yet it's the best thing I ever did. If you haven't done it and you have the opportunity, I'm telling you.
What if you have no history?
Well, you know, the worst thing is, and they do find this, it's the only thing worse than finding nothing.
Is finding something.
Is finding out like your great grandfather was in the Gestapo.
Oh God.
Which they also do. They find that stuff for sure. Yeah. There have been a couple of folks like where they have stories like, you know what, we won't be telling that story.
But now, are you able to have them keep in? I mean, what does happen? It's all happening live. I mean, on camera.
There's no bad surprise.
Right.
Right. They're never going to do that.
I have to see your episode. I'm so excited now. There's something I get to watch.
It's super emotional. It explained so much to me about why I think the way I think. And what I'm interested in, the really radical thing was why I am interested in specific things, down to why I designed my house in the manner in which I designed it.
That's incredible.
Yeah, Kudrow's smart. I like her. Those are all, and
she's
Courtney,
fantastic.
All of them, and the guys are.
I know.
It's helpful when it's people you love.
It really is, because it could have gone any way. I mean, we've heard stories,
oh, for sure.
Right? We've heard all sorts of stories. So the fact that we truly are, you know, family till death do us part, whether we see each other every week or every year, or every 10 years, doesn't matter. There's something that has bonded all of us together that I mean, just a gift. It's just a real lightning in a bottle.
Transform your bathroom cleaning with Wet and Forget weekly shower cleaner. You just spray today and rinse tomorrow for a no scrub clean. With over 33,000 five-star reviews, this is your once a week solution to keeping your tub and shower surfaces sparkling clean. Available at Amazon, Lowe's, Menards, Home Depot, and Ace Hardware. Join thousands who've switched to an easier clean. Get your Wet and Forget weekly shower cleaner today and make your bathroom sparkle with zero scrubbing.
Hey there, everyone in podcast land. I just wanted to thank you all for listening and telling your friends about our little podcast, Let's Talk Off Camera, with me, Kelly Ripa. I know there are millions of podcasts out there, so I really appreciate you giving us a listen. There are so many gems from season one, from Matthew McConaughey disclosing that he and Woody Harrelson might be brothers, to Selma Hayek telling us about the argument that started her friendship with Prince. Hope you enjoy season one and stay tuned for a bigger and better season two.
Hi, I'm comedian Eliza Schlesinger, and I've got my podcast, Ask Eliza Anything, where you can submit me your burning life questions, and I will give you real advice. Go to Denver, be young, get you a black lab named Bailey. And she'll be like, well, then just have it anyway. And then you'd be like, it tastes like blood. Please don't. We moved and my husband died. I'm not here. I died too. You know, when people's like, happy holidays from the Thompsons. What they're really saying is, look how great we look. We're all still alive. And we're all wearing blue jeans. You're looking at us. Listen to Ask Eliza Anything wherever you get your podcasts.
Was the reunion for you everything you thought it would be, or what were your thoughts on it? Were you always down to do it? Did you not know whether you wanted to do it? Like, what was that like for you?
We didn't know what what it would look like. I mean, we'd been hearing about it for a long time. We knew that people wanted it. Fans really wanted some kind of a reunion. But why unwrap a perfectly packaged, you know, leave it where it was. Let's not disrupt it. So when Ben Winston, our producer director, kind of came to each of us with his idea, it just resonated with all of us. And it didn't sound like something that would cheapen or tarnish something that was perfectly left in its place. But I think it really took us all down way harder than we anticipated.
Really?
Oh, for sure. Because in your mind, you think, oh, this will be really fun to time travel. It turns out, ooh, ouch, it's kind of hard to time travel. Because you're going back to a time, and mind you, it is, when I say the set was put back exactly, it was the exact same everything, down to the little tchotchkes on the shelves and little tiny things that had been in a storage space for this whole time. All of a sudden, here you are, and, you know, 16 years, a lot has gone on for each of us. And 16 years ago, we were all sort of wide-eyed and bushy-tailed and sort of had our whole lives ahead of us, even though we were heartbroken to say goodbye to these 10 years and this family and these people and this the job we all love to do. And it brought so much joy to fans and ourselves. I mean, it was like having a happy pill every single day. And then so going back there, it's nostalgic in a way that's kind of also a little melancholy, you know, because a lot has changed and we have all gone down different roads. Not so easy, and some easy, and not so easy for each of us, you know.
Even for fans, I think, to watch it and they go, "Oh, yeah, this is like you said, time travel." You know, be careful what you ask for.
Uh-huh.
You know, it was great. People loved it, obviously,
yeah.
But I think there's an added second concussion effect of like when you do right.
Yeah, no, 100%. It was brutal, and you also can't turn it off. You know, it's not like you're like, this is there's cameras everywhere and I can't stop crying.
was there anything really, really gnarly that they had to take out, do you think? Or was
there was a period where we were all kind of in a puddle, and that for sure. Maybe David didn't. I don't think we broke David. Even LeBlanc broke.
Jeez.
At one point, you know, Mr. Tough Guy, you know, our
Mr.
brother.
Impenetrable.
Mr. Impenetrable, our big, you know, brother who would kill anybody if they looked at you wrong. Even he got a little misty.
I have a very special recollection because I was working on the West Wing on the same lot.
That's right.
I just remember you guys would roll in. Well, it wasn't so much you, it was the boys. The boys would roll in the most amazing cars. Like maybe around noon, maybe 1 o'clock. I don't know. I was already on my fifth meal penalty for lunch.
Oh gosh.
And
yeah.
And then it was like, I was like, this is the charmed life. You guys, Friday nights, you taped on Fridays, correct?
Yep. Yes.
Friday nights, I remember it well. You guys would come in, you'd tape, and that was the big day. Friday's the biggest day of work,
that was
right?
We used to wrap it. Midnight was an early night. But it was usually like 2 a.m. And then we figured it out. And you were there for how many hours?
So on the horrible 2 a.m. nights, we were just warming up over on stage 24. Because our first year of West Wing, on Fridays, we did not leave the lot until Sunday morning when the sun was coming up. Not once. Not one Friday. Not once ever.
So you had a Fraturday, basically.
You had a Fraturday.
Man, that's brutal. I have to say, now with this kind of television schedule, that was an incredible schedule. To go in until 10 a.m., you're done by 5. And then, you're, you know, God forbid, on Friday, you have a little bit more than a 12-hour day, which is a luxury these days.
Totally. So you're in post now. What's the next 6 months? What are you doing? Are you chilling?
I'm going to start Murder Mystery 2 with Mr. Sandler in January.
Where are you shooting it, more importantly? Because I know he always shoots in great locations.
He really does. That's kind of why I love, I mean, not only do I just love him as a human being and everything he's about. We're figuring that out right now, but we are hoping it will be in a tropical location.
Yes.
And then in a European location.
Okay, I vote for...
Okay, this is good, yes.
For sure, because I've never seen a movie shot there.
Uh-huh.
I say the Maldives.
Oh, we brought that up.
It's very hard. It's very hard. It's going to be very... Oh, yeah, the only thing that was shot in the Maldives is one of the new Star Wars did some stuff at the Maldives. Shoot. I think you should shoot in George Clooney's guest house in Lake Cuomo.
We already did that. We did that the first... We were just to sort of plug your show, in Lake Cuomo for 3 weeks.
That's right. You just go back. It's a sequel. You got to have some of the same stuff.
And someone's going to die. It's going to be a mystery that we know. And there's a bunch of other things that are on the docket. I am looking, when you say what is the next 6 months, I know that the next 3 months are just going to be taking a break. And I will leave the house eventually.
You're going to have to get on a plane.
I'm going to have to get on a plane. But where is the question?
That's the thing.
Yeah.
I mean, clearly it's got to be somewhere you want to go, not somewhere you have to go.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'd like to go. I really want to go to New York. I miss the city. Do you like New York City?
I do. I do love it. How do you feel about trains? I'm telling you, if you've never done a train. Okay. Yeah. Because that's the best, is to get a sleeper car and just go.
That I've never done a sleeper car. But that's something that I actually would love to do.
Get a sleeper car. It's so romantic and so old school. Like, and then they're amazing. The other thing you could do is you could rent your own Pullman car. They'll put it on the back of a train and you and friends it's pretty. I had a friend who did it. It was nuts.
I've never heard of that. A Pullman car?
Yeah, yeah. You can get your, there's different ones you can get. You can get an observation car. It lives, you know, three bedrooms, a chef.
Wow. Well, you've just solved my next 3 months. You've just literally mapped it out for me. I feel very grateful.
The only thing is you want to do it before it snows.
Okay.
You should I'd be so jealous if you do. I've always wanted to do it. I was researched it, and I've never pulled the trigger on it.
Maybe it's something you need to do in the next 6 months.
It is something. Maybe I just go with you.
Okay. Maybe let's get all of our friends together.
Get all of our peoples.
Get a Pullman car, and we'll hook our wagon to some wonderful train, and then there we go.
I like it. That's good. My wife Cheryl sends her love to you.
Oh, I just was thinking about her the other day.
She said, tell Jen, I'm under very specific instructions of what I'm supposed to say.
Yes.
She has some new gold she wants to get to you.
Is this code for something?
No, it's her new, it sounds like drugs. Her fall line is built around gold, and she's like, I have some stuff I specifically designed for her. I really got to see her, and I want to give her that.
Your wife has opened me up to so many incredible experiences that I've had, I have to say.
Has she?
Yes. I've met so many people through her who have been life-changing, and I just appreciate her. And I was thinking, it's been so long. I mean, I first met your wife, Cheryl, when she did my makeup on a, she hadn't done...
It was Paul Rudd.
Yeah.
Was it with the Paul Rudd movie?
That's right. And she had put down her makeup brushes, but she kind of came out of retirement to do this pickup. And I remember she did my eyebrows, and no one had ever done my eyebrows like that.
She's kind of a genius, my
She
wife.
Really is. And she just has her, hands in so many different areas of life that makes this one rich, wonderful, gorgeous human being.
I know. She's pretty great. We miss you. So we have to... You got to come up to Santa Barbara.
I know. You're all up in Santa Barbara now, too. So I feel...
So many of your friends are up there.
I know it. I keep trying to get my butt up there.
I want to help you pick your Pullman car. I really do.
That's the first thing I'm going to Google when we hang up this wonderful conversation.
All right, darling. I love you. It was
you.
So great to see you. You look amazing.
So
this was awesome.
You.
Thanks for taking the time. And everybody, don't forget to watch the morning show. When is the new season come out so people know?
September 17th. September
it's
17th.
Upon
it's
us.
Literally
well,
upon
that
us.
That tells me you better get the post finished.
No, I'm literally going to go from the... I have a meeting after this, and then I have to go to ADR for the finale. And then I think that's... We're practically finished. Thank that. Round of applause. Round of applause.
Thank you, darling. That was great.
Mwah. Mwah.
She's lovely, isn't she? She's pretty lovely. And in celebration of having such a great talk, I'm going to have a wig made in the shape of a Rachel. The shape of the Rachel? No, the style of the Rachel. I'm going to do that to honor her and her graciousness for coming on Literally. All right, everybody. It is time for the lowdown line. Let's do it.
Hello, you've reached Literally in our lowdown line, where you can get the lowdown on all things about me, Rob Lowe. 323-570-4551. So have at it. Here's the beep.
Hello, Mr. Lowe. This is Ryan Guy, physical therapist here in Kona, Hawaii. And I was curious that when you make your way to the Hawaiian Islands, what is your favorite Hawaiian fruit? Look forward to see if I ever run into you out here. Take care, brother.
Well, hey, man, thanks for calling in from Kona. You know I love Kona. I'm there a lot. I was just there about 10 days ago. My favorite Hawaiian fruit, man. Well, listen, I'll get to that. But you know my favorite Hawaiian thing is I go to that little gas station right by the airport and I get this Spam. You guys have a name for it. It's like a typical like local Hawaiian thing, but it's basically like a Spam California roll. Masubi, I believe it's called. And it is the most delicious thing in the world. Spam wrapped in seaweed and a little, you guys know what it is, but that's my all-time favorite Hawaiian thing. But fruit, you can't go wrong with, anytime you can get fresh coconut, you can't go wrong. Coconut juice, you know, I mean, I think I'm going to go with that. I have to say, I'm not a big fruit person on food. I like fruit as fruit. I like fruit as dessert. I like fruit as juice. Don't put it in my salad. Don't put it in my salsa. Every once in a while, I can, with a fish taco, you guys are big with putting it. You can make it. If anybody can make it work, it's the Hawaiians. If anybody can. But I kind of like to keep things in their lane. Fruit should stay in its lane. But anyway, hope to see you in Kona on the Big Island. It's one of my favorite places in the world. And thanks for listening to Literally. I hope you guys had as much fun as I did talking to the wonderful Ms. Aniston. Thank you. And thank you guys for listening. Don't forget to subscribe. This new season of Literally has got a murderer's row of people coming on. So subscribe so you get every episode. And don't forget to go give us a 5-star review if of course, you are feeling that we are deserving of such. And until then, I'll see you next week.
You have been listening to Literally with Rob Lowe, produced and engineered by me, Rob Schulte. Our coordinating producer is Lisa Berm. The podcast is executive produced by Rob Lowe for Low Profile, Jeff Ross, Adam Sachs, and Joanna Solitaro at Team Coco, and Colin Anderson at Stitcher. Our talent bookers are Gina Batista, Paula Davis, and Britt Kahn, and music is by Devin Tory Bryant. Make sure to leave us a rating and review, and we'll see you next week on Literally with Rob Lowe.
This has been a Team Coco production in association with Stitcher.